T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When we had Albert on just a few moments ago, Albert Breer, MMQB, we got into the conversation about how the Browns looked the first four games and how that should make us feel about the seven games left until Deshaun Watson comes back, and what extreme, that 4-7 extreme or that 7-4 extreme is more likely.
If I had to guess, I'd say they're either a game over or a game under when they get Deshaun Watson back. But I think you're looking at a team right now that, quite frankly, is still sort of figuring out the right way to win. You know, and I think you saw that against Atlanta with some of the gambles that you mentioned. I think you saw that in the Jets game, you know, where they just couldn't close them out and the defense just couldn't find a way to get it done. And so, you know, a month into the season, I think they're still sort of finding their way. And with the schedule getting more difficult now, I think they're going to take their lumps over the next few weeks. And you know, the hope is, again, that you can kind of maintain what you've been able to create in the run. I think Bill Callahan, you know, the offensive line coach, the running game coordinator, deserves huge credit for finding a way to run the ball and be diverse enough in the running game where teams can't just stack the box against them. And Kareem Hunt, it's obviously a great credit to the linemen, too. But I'm telling you, if they get into a situation where they can't run the ball that way, I have a hard time seeing where they're going to win games. So that part of the team is going to have to kind of maintain its level. And they've been at almost 200 yards a game, I think, the last 4 weeks, right? And then, you know, I think from there, it's going to be about creating an identity and figuring out how to win games around that strength of the team.
I understand why Albert's saying what he is, and I understand you. Like earlier when we talked, you know, I asked, how confident are you that the Browns are still going to be above 500 when Deshaun Watson comes back? They'd have to go 4-3 over the next seven games for that to happen. And you said not very confident. And, you know, you've talked about the possibility that in the next four games, they could be 2-6 by the time we get to, what is that, the bye week. So all of that is fair. And it's not that I think you're wrong, but I think, I don't think that's what we should expect. I think the Browns have the ability. I think the Browns have not played up to their talent. Let's just be honest about that. And I think a lot of the Browns' biggest problems, which are on defense right now, being 30th in DVOA in the NFL out of 32 teams, not great, Bob. I think a lot of the reason why the defense looks so bad is roughly a couple chunk plays per game, and specifically in the Jets and Falcons game, like probably about four drives altogether that just tanked their defensive ability. But I also think, you know, the first half against the Panthers, the second half defensively against the Steelers, this team has also teased a dominance when everything starts to go right. I still think that's closer to who they are and who they can be. Now, they need a little bit better health. They need to get the defensive line healthy specifically. But, like, this weekend, if you got Myles Garrett, I understand that people are going to expect the Chargers to win. I don't think this is an easy win for the Chargers, even if the Browns have played down and haven't played up to their talent. I'm still reasonably confident that over the next four games, they're going to go 2-2 or better.
I don't think they're... I think best case scenario the next four games is 2-2. I think the most likely scenario is 1-3.
Is that about quarterbacks? Or is that meaning they have the quarterback advantage more often than not? Or is that about the rest of the
roster? It's mostly about quarterbacks and obviously the fact that, you know, these teams we're playing are, I mean, with their quarterback play, they're better.
I know, and
I don't think the Patriots are right now, which is why I think the Browns will win that game. That game's also at home next week. But look, if you can somehow beat the Chargers this week, I think this goes a long way. This might be the game of the year early Because
I don't hate that. Like, you know, really, what I mean? Really, like, pivotal
because
game.
It's so pivotal, Nick, that the Browns win this game to get to 3-2, and then you'll have confidence going into the New England game. You could get yourselves to 4-2, and then all of a sudden, you know, those divisional games against Baltimore and Cincy, they could go either way. But going into the bye week, I think it's important to be above 500.
So there's a lot to parse apart of what you said. I do think going into the bye week, getting above 500 would be really, really important. That could be really good because after that, you've got the Dolphins, and I still don't know how good the Dolphins really are. Defensively, they're not great. They don't run the ball a lot, but they can throw all over you, and Tyreek Hill and Waddle give you a chance no matter what. But the Bills are the real deal. I imagine the Bucs are going to figure it out by week 12. So all of that being said, the next couple weeks, like, yes, the Chargers' offense has been really good. They've given up 108 points in four games. Yes, the Lamar Jackson has been fantastic up until this last game against Buffalo. But outside of Lamar, like, none of their other runners have really gotten going. They don't, I mean, Mark Andrews is a beast, but, like, in the trenches, they're not stout on either side of the ball. They don't get after the quarterback well. I don't think Baltimore is who we expect them to be, at least not yet. And I think the Bengals also. Like, all three teams right now are subsiding on heroic quarterback play.
Mm-hmm.
Those teams, I think, are vulnerable in that way. Now, if Cincy's defense starts rolling or if the offensive line gets Joe Mixon going, if Baltimore, all of a sudden, the defense catches its wind and starts to figure out how to pressure quarterbacks, or if the Chargers, without Joey Bosa, suddenly turn into a better defense, if Khalil Mack unlocks. These are absolutely things that can change my thoughts on any one of those games. But neither the Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, or Bengals have been very good this year.
No, but nor have the Browns, really, Nick. I mean, the Browns are sitting at 2-2, coming off a rather easy slate to start the season. I mean, yeah, the Browns could easily be 1-3.
They
right
could.
Now.
They could also be 4-0. So
yeah, they could because of who they played. I just think the competition steps up tremendously here, and
I don't think it does. I mean, I think the quarterback competition, yes, absolutely.
Okay, well, that's what matters.
Yeah, but it hasn't mattered for the 2-2 Chargers yet. It hasn't mattered for the 2-2 Ravens yet, or the 2-2 Bengals. Like, they're good teams. None of those teams are.
The Browns are not. Listen, the Browns are not built to get into a shootout with the Los Angeles Chargers.
No,
if that happens, we're going to lose.
You're 100% right. The Chargers also are not built to stop the Browns' run game.
Yeah, but I also don't have trust that the Browns are going to just stick to the run game, Nick.
I mean, they have most of the time. Like, the criticisms you and I have had of the run game are mostly in either situational football, or not having Hunt and Chubb on the field together, or not going to them on the goal line. Those are fair criticisms. But the
right.
overarching idea of them running the ball, you're still talking about a team that's averaging 38 to 39 rushing attempts a game. So to me, it's
But situational football is what matters, and that's more on the coach than anybody.
And that's fair. That's 100% fair. But I think if it were reversed and you had lost to Pittsburgh and then you had won to Atlanta, I think right now, I think we're allowing the Atlanta loss, which, again, I'm not defending. You should have won that game. And Kevin Stefanski lost you the game. I'm not telling you that isn't infuriating. But what I am saying is I don't think we should allow the Falcons' loss, which was a bad loss, and avoidable, and the Jets' loss, which was avoidable. Every criticism I have the Browns outside of running the ball in red zone situations, well, by the way, no, that's fixable too. Every problem they have defensively, they still have the talent. They're a little banged up right now, which is absolutely the equalizer when you have a better quarterback across the board. But like, the offense has been one of the 10 best offenses in the NFL combined between what you've gotten out of Jacoby and the run game. I'm not trying to sell wishes and dreams here, I promise. But I think the Browns' defense is closer to putting it together because of the talent they have. No. They should put it together. Maybe that's the way. It's not they're close to putting it together. The Browns should put it together defensively over the next 4 weeks. And if they do that, I think they have a chance at 2-2 or 3-1 to surprise people. I don't think the sky is falling.
3-1 would be a surprise.
I think it would. Yeah, no, you're 100% right. But But I don't think this is the murderer's row that we thought it was going to be.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm higher on Baltimore and Cincy than you are. But listen, both those teams have their warts, as most NFL teams do. There's no perfect team. I mean, outside of, like, what, Kansas City and Buffalo, like those games, if the Browns were playing them and they do play Buffalo in November.
Or even Philly. Like, there's like three or four teams.
I haven't watched Philly enough to know enough about them.
They're a beast, and they're the way that they're running the ball with Jalen right now is friggin' ridiculous. Like, if you were going up against either the Bills or Chiefs in this four-game stretch, I would say right now you're going to lose those games.
Yeah, and listen, by the time the Browns play the Dolphins, Tua should be back. That's not an easy game, and that's on the road. November's a tough month, man. You know, obviously you get the bye to start, but then you got on the road Miami, on the road Buffalo, home against Tom Brady.
I just think the circumstances being what they are, you were hoping to make hay in September. You didn't.
You did not. Which that put you extremely behind the eight ball here.
If the rest of the AFC were better, I'd agree. But I do think now you need to steal a win that people think you
shouldn't
have.
This would
be
the steal. That's why I think this game is so vital.
Well, I think it's got to be either the Chargers or Ravens game. Because I think the Ravens are the most true team left in the AFC North outside of the Browns.
I don't know, man. Like, I think this game matters more. It's at home.
Oh, I would say either, though. That's
okay, so if they lose this game, they could steal it back with Baltimore.
Yes, especially assuming they take...
And again, I'm assuming they're going to beat New England.
Yes, exactly.
Nothing. You never take a Bill Belichick win for granted.
We've been having the conversation about the Browns and the path to being above 500 when Deshaun Watson comes back. So the question for you guys, we're going to get to the phones here, is how confident are you now that they started 2-2, that we had the Jets collapse, that the Falcons game happened? How confident are you that the Browns are actually still going to be above 500 when Deshaun Watson comes back? Let's go with Daryl. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, how we doing, man?
Doing well, bud. What you got?
I want to ask you guys a simple question. I hate to do this.
Ooh.
But what do you think the Browns' record would be with Bill Belichick with this roster?
4-0.
Or at least 3-1.
Or 3-1 minimum.
At least 3-1. Yeah. That Jets collapse would not have happened.
So that kind of tells you where the problem is, man. I mean, Stefanski, I still have not seen Stefanski evolve yet as a coach. I still haven't seen it. I mean, the team has the identity of him, which is basically he looks uncertain at times and all over the place, sometimes literally. I mean, I've been watching football a long time, man, and I haven't seen every game. But I've never seen a tight end reverse, ever, in life. And the whole time that I've been watching it called
– the Georgia Bulldogs do it once a week.
Good. The kids are young. They're going to fly. I don't know a tight end fast enough to be able to run that thing.
Brock Powers.
You know what I mean? And it just, he hasn't evolved, man. I just don't get it. And I would like to see Miles evolve. Miles comes and he brings it every Sunday. I hate to say anything bad about this guy. It's like taboo. But I never see Miles in another player's ear when they make a mistake. I never see him take ownership. Look, when you look at San Fran the other night, San Fran knew we're going to get a stop. You're not going to score.
Yeah, I think I wonder sometimes, Daryl, and we thank you for the call, buddy. Good stuff. I do wonder if the Browns have, not to go all Will Brennan on everybody, enough dogs in the locker room. I've used words like soft before. You know, other people have said words like gutless. And listen, I think the Jets collapse was gutless. It was one of the more – guys, we've got a rich history of embarrassing – Browns losses to go off of in the last 20 years, and that one can qualify as the most embarrassing because you have expectations for this team. So if I doubted whether they had talent, that doesn't bug me because talent ebbs and flows, and over the course of a season, we've seen talent be developed in, you know, places like in better cultures, in Baltimore, in Pittsburgh, in Kansas City. So what scares me is when we're talking about culture. And that's why I don't just throw it to, well, it's Joe Woods' fault. Well, last year was Joe Woods' fault, then the defense figured it out, and then it was no longer Joe Woods' problem. But when you get into culture, when you get into the makeup of a locker room, that does scare me. And that to me is the bigger, question. Talent-wise, listen, even without Deshaun Watson, you're good enough to hang in there against the Chargers. You're good enough there to hang in, even the best versions of those teams. You're good enough to hang in against the Chargers, Ravens, Bengals, and Patriots. You are. You have that kind of talent. This is the most, if this is not the most talented Browns team, it's the second most talented Browns team since 1999. And by the way, there's a couple playoff teams in there as well. So you have all the talent you need. But I think the biggest question is, are these guys going to get out of their own way?
Right.
Are these guys going to button up what they need to? And by the way, that starts with Kevin Stefanski. I am not going to be one of these guys who just starts calling for Kevin Stefanski's job. It's way too early for that. He's earned a little bit of patience. But I don't think year five for Miles, year six for Miles, I don't think year whatever for Nick Chubb, year four, year five for Nick Chubb, I don't think we should be talking year five for Denzel Ward. We shouldn't be talking about a team that maybe doesn't have enough heart. That's the biggest thing that scares me.
Yeah, that's a little bit concerning.
That's more concerning than anything else.
For an NFL team that's supposed to be a playoff caliber team with a really talented roster, if we're talking about like an intangible like heart, that's a problem.
And I suppose that you can grow into that. But man, when you don't have a margin for error, and you don't, when you're playing a backup, no matter how much we like Jacoby, when you're playing a backup, your margin for error isn't the same thing that it is for the Chargers, Chiefs, Ravens, Bengals, anybody with a franchise quarterback. Jack, welcome to the show, bud. What you got for us?
Thanks for taking my call. I just got into my car, so excuse me if I repeat something that's been said, but Stefanski, in my opinion, is an evolving head coach. I think he's got some growing to do, and I also think that no head coach in the league should be calling plays. I think they should recognize that their job is bigger than that, and I'm hoping that he realizes that down the road and passes that job on to someone. But I relate what's being said about Stefanski now to what was being said about Belichick in the early 90s. People didn't like him. People didn't like how he approached things. And now they're talking about his evolution and now being one of the greatest head coaches ever. Now, it took having a Tom Brady to help him get there. And I'm hoping that Deshaun Watson could be Stefanski's Tom Brady.
Well, so, I mean, I think Deshaun has as much talent as anybody in the NFL. I thank you for the call, Jack. Listen, some of the things that annoy me about Kevin Stefanski in the Atlanta loss aren't going to matter in the Texans game. They're just not. I'm not going to need Nick Chubb pounding into the red zone on 2nd-and-1 and 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. I'm not going to need that the same way when Deshaun Watson comes back. So some of the nuances, like I'm not going to be as insistent on running the ball more than passing the ball when Deshaun Watson comes back. But the idea of Kevin Stefanski evolving, I think he has evolved as a play caller. I think we've seen a little bit more aggressiveness from him. Ironically, I think he's chosen the wrong points to be more aggressive because he's choosing it with a backup quarterback. But again, that's a personal preference. That's not, you know, the doctrine. But I think there's a few different ways you can evolve. And the thing that I haven't seen is an evolution with this locker room in terms of going from we're the young dogs, to being the team that actually plays and acts. They act like they belong, but
they're confident. They do.
It's almost overconfidence.
I think that they're, no pun intended, all bark, no bite.
Mm. No, I think that's fair. I don't think it's no bite. I just think they have
all bark, some bite.
I think they have more bark than they do bite to this point this year. Because I think the mistake that we make is treating, well, Kevin Stefanski's locker room in general. I think the really smart coaches, and I bet Kevin knows this himself, just because you had one good locker room doesn't mean you've had three good locker rooms. And just because the locker room isn't where we wanted through four games doesn't mean by the end of the year that they can't figure it out. But now, because you started 2-2 when you could be 4-0, now all of a sudden the road looks a lot tougher to people. Now we're wondering, well, by week 8, can we trust your culture? by week 10, are you going to have that dog mentality, that killer mentality? And I just, those are big questions to ask in the middle of a season or, the, or a quarter of the way into the season. John, welcome to the show, bud.
Yes, sir. I had to call. I mean, the other call, I respect people's opinions. You know, as sports, it's good to talk about it and have fun with it.
Ooh, here's that but.
But I think that guy was, like, bankrupt on that statement. What would be our record if we had Hugh Jackson as coach and Tom Brady as a quarterback?
0-4.
I don't think so. But, yeah, that's your opinion.
I'm being a little facetious there, bud.
Yeah. I think that we're just too quick as a – we always, I'm older than you. I don't even know who you are, but I know I'm older than you. I'll go back.
Wait, how old are you? Show your work.
How old are you there?
I'm 78.
You are older than us, both
sound,
of us.
You sound younger than that.
Now, congrats on your success.
78's a win.
I go back in the Browns in the 50s. We traded, I guess, after Paul Brown left. We don't keep coaches very long. We run them out of town, even the good ones. I mean, we find fault with every coach we ever had. At basketball, I'm glad we kept the baseball coach. But it's something about our culture here. We just want to hang the coach. And nothing, if that worked, we'd be champions.
Buddy, I don't think it's a Cleveland thing, John. I think it's a sports thing. I think the coach is the first thing to get blamed. They're the last thing to get credit. And I just think that's the way it is. I don't think that's a Cleveland-specific thing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.